It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Things are happening inside the convention center. They're happening outside the convention center. We have it covered. We need to find out how those protests are doing.
How are those protests doing? Andrea Darlis, our own Andrea Darlis, you get to listen to her every morning on 720 WGN with the great Steve Cochran, is out on the streets of Cleveland for us. And this is, it's getting a little testy out there, but one of the interesting things about this that we're being told is that the protesters, they haven't done anything in days. They're here. I don't know what they're doing. Cleveland's been very lovely, by the way. Maybe they've been to the Rock and Roll Museum.
It's been very calm.
But now they've decided that they got to do something to make a stand, at least on the last day.
So you're starting to see an increased police presence outside the building, that police officers are on higher alert. You see some of the tactical gear that hasn't necessarily been present over the last few days. The police are bringing that out. Again, we only had 20 some arrests this week, and it's been largely very peaceful gatherings, and a lot of them have been quite small as well, in the hundreds or even the dozens for some of these protests. But today it looks as if they're preparing right now for something larger than that as people start to gather.
Right. Do we have Andrea? Do we have her on the phone here? Andrea? No? No Andrea on the phone. Okay. I thought we had her. We don't have her at the moment. All right. We will
we'll
check in to try to find her then. It is interesting that while we are here, and this has been the status all week long, anything that happens outside the gates of this is basically, we wouldn't know about it. You know, I mean, you have no sense, because they've set up a very large perimeter, and it's one of those circumstances where it's a large perimeter hundreds of yards away from the actual campus here of between these two, the baseball stadium and the basketball stadium, and then the parking lots around it. There is,
or from any kind of public street. We're pretty much removed from that when you go through the all these different security checkpoints just to get into the convention site.
Yeah. All right, Andrea Darlis, we found her on the streets here. Now, Andrea, where are you?
Oh my gosh, you guys, I'm exactly where we, I met up with you guys last night after your show and after I was done with the speeches. I'm on East 4th Street, and boy, I'm telling you, this is an even bigger party than it was last night. I think every group, and I mean literally every group, has gathered here. Black Lives Matter, there was just a Christian group that walked by, a women's rights group, they were in pink tutus, there's anti-Trump support, or anti-Trumpsters, there's pro-Trumpsters, it's just everyone's gathering and just kind of mingling. It's quite nice.
Oh, so it's still very calm.
Oh, so it's a party. So that's a good thing. That's
nice.
Interesting.
Everybody's coming together.
I'm not even kidding you guys. I thought there's an area called the Square, just a little bit to the east of us, and that they did have a couple of protests there. But again, and I say protests so loosely because there weren't really any demonstrations. There's a very heavy police presence,
as you guys have seen
day long.
Sure.
Wow. I mean, it's probably tripled since yesterday. They have a helicopter flying overhead. I asked a police officer, I said, that's not Trump. He said, no, that's the eye in the sky. So they're really watching everybody. But yeah, what's kind of cool, like I said, is that everyone's just gathered here.
All right. So you're able to report that things are fairly calm out there, and that's good. That's
where I am.
Right. She's at the party.
Enjoy yourself.
Yes, because I'm telling you, there's some really great restaurants and stuff right there, and that's also the MSNBC area. And speaking of MSNBC, Michael Steele has just joined us right now at our broadcast facility, the WGN studios here at the convention. And Andrea,
I like what you've done with the place.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye. First of all, so much happening here.
Absolutely.
It's been one of the dullest conventions. This is my sixth one, and I swear, I'm sitting here trying to figure out what to do next. It's just been that kind of convention.
But not predictable, has it been?
It's been as predictable as they come. I mean, I'm telling you, Anna, it's been one of those things where I actually had to go lie down on the couch at one point. I was just so underwhelmed by the events.
Yeah, that's what's happening. What I actually like is I like being around Michael at these events.
I do too.
She's looking at me going,
like, what are you talking about?
You know, we've run into each other at a number of these over the years, and what I love about that is the pure love that comes out for Michael Steele. And the people who come out and they're like, if you were still running this party, I want to tell you something. This never would have happened. I tell you what. You know, you get a lot of that. You do get a lot of that,
don't you? I get a lot of that. I mean, this is the first – I mean, I was at the last convention, but I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. This is the first one where I'm in, like, full blossom. And, you know, you've never seen a black man blossom before. This is it. And so
I might have. I don't know.
Even I was amused by
that. Sure, that's true. Go ahead. Yeah.
I have to pause and take that visual for a second.
Take that in, yeah.
But it's, you know, it's amazing people come up to you. And it's nice that they remember what you tried to do.
Yeah.
You know, and they acknowledge that. And they know, you know, we got a lot of wins in 2010. And they know how important those wins are now and what it means for what happens this November. So it's good to be back in the hood.
It is.
But again, it's been very quiet. It's just been
nothing happening here.
Nothing happened.
Moving along, people. There's nothing to see here.
That's right.
All right. So we are told that the speech is going to be tonight not conciliatory, not going to be anything other than.
It's a hard speech. I've gotten a little bead on it. It's going to be a hard speech.
What do you know?
Well, it's going to be thematically in keeping with the sound bites and the imagery that have been created in the last week or so. The take our country back sort of theme. Strong man kind of macho.
You've heard his surrogates coming out and talking about the fact that 5 police officers have been assassinated. Or no, wait, what is it? It's 8.
More
no,
than that.
7 now, right? Because mm-hmm.
Eight.
Because you had 5 and 3.
Five
and 3. So 8 in the last whatever it's going to be
week.
Now, 10
yeah.
Yeah, a week of assassinations of police officers. That's a pretty, you know, that's...
Well, actually, I wouldn't argue with that term when you consider the facts regarding how they were sniped from a high perch. So that speaks to how people are looking at this. You know, in our counseling sessions together, I've tried to help you understand...
He needs more help.
...that words mean things,
yeah.
And how you say and what you say does matter. But that's one piece of it. The next piece of it is there is a reason for saying it. And the reasons that go with the words that Donald Trump uses are significant. He talks in the way he does because he obviously is trying to grab your attention. But he's sending a subtle message in many ways. And a lot of people refer to it as dog whistles on certain mm-hmm. terms and
yeah.
things like that.
True.
And when he uses that term, or when his surrogates are using that term, that's because that's how people are articulating it. So
he's articulating their emotion.
Not only their emotions, but their words. That's how they describe it. That's how they look at it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like us standing here talking and we overhear someone saying, you know, it's a shame they assassinated those police officers. He gets that vibe and then he starts parroting that language back.
And he is right. And this is a very dangerous time in American history. This is a moment where many things have happened that do seem out of control. And it doesn't feel this for the first time doesn't feel like the America that I know.
Right.
As well. You know?
Right. Well, it's not the America. It's not the America. It was, put it this way, at least for me, it's almost a reversion back to the America I grew up with, I grew up in, where there was all these tensions around race, tensions around war and peace, tensions around the culture. So, you know, I'm a product of the 70s, the late 60s and 70s. So I, you know, 10 years old when Dr. King was killed. So that's my starting point. You know, in the maturation and going into adulthood and as a young man and everything that happened over those next 10 years, were significant. Were significant moments. And it feels a little bit like that in one sense. I remember the 68 DNC convention. I remember the Law and Order speech of Richard Nixon. So when I hear these, it's like, oh, my God, flashback.
Can I take you to something?
But these times are different than they were then.
How so? What
because
do you see?
In one sense, I don't think it's an accurate reflection of really what's going on. You know what I'm saying? those upheavals and all that was a culmination of a whole lot of things that were going back to World War II, all right? This, though, is frustrating because we've matured so much more since then, since over that time period, and we seem to be wanting to forget that, you know? So I don't like you because of your politics. That was never in play back in the day. I mean, you know.
Well, we've hit on this a little bit, too. There's this notion that we're the enemy now.
Yes.
I mean, we walk up and down these streets.
That's
the media.
And the media
about.
Is the enemy.
That's
and
it.
And the fact that we don't like you liars who are telling us all this stuff that you know, you're making stuff up, that Trump is doing it. But it's the media who's informing people that the media are the liars, right? It's cable news.
Right.
It's the internet. And so the idea here that what we're actually encountering is it's kind of an ironic self-fulfilling prophecy that we have now put ourselves into. And instead of saying, listen, there are people out there who are trying to tell the right stories, who are trying to tell the correct version of what they're seeing, right? Because everything is filtered through your own experience. But I wonder if now we go back to race here, and this is a fascinating moment. I, you know, you became the first African-American chairman of the Republican National Committee just after the first American president of the United States was elected, right? Do you think, after everything that has happened here, you could be, or another African-American could be put in the position of the RNC, or another African-American president could be elected in the next decade?
No. No, I don't think so.
What has happened here?
You know, I just think that the country's experiences with that kind of soured their taste buds to it, because the idea ran into the reality, and reality tastes so much more bitter than the idea, you know? And so that taste has to get out of their mouths, and I think it's going to be some time, because it goes back to what you were just talking about, getting to the nub of race. And understanding what that's all about, where it's not the point of having an African-American president or an African-American chairman or African-American fill in the blank.
Right.
It's about having the best American to do that job.
Well, okay, so I want to go personal here for just a second, because you and I have known each other for a long time. We once had this conversation about your son and what you tell your son when he's driving in D.C. You live in the greater D.C. area. And this is years ago. Not in the aftermath of Black Lives Matter or anything like that.
Right.
And he was, you know, he has some challenges driving, apparently, you know, keeping the car from hitting other things. So,
that was a moment.
And you've had your own experiences.
Yeah,
with
absolutely.
This. So this is a real thing.
It's
this
real.
Is not.
It's not, you know, frustrating. It's funny. I related that story recently this week at one of these events, and afterwards someone sent an email to the office basically saying, I heard you tell that story, and I can tell you that, you know, as a white man, I got pulled over too, and started recounting his experience. And my response back after was that, you know, so now you appreciate, you know, what I'm saying, and it's not exclusive to black folks. Oh, but here's the difference. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to worry about whether or not you get to finish the ride home.
That's true. Right. There are important differences there, I think.
That's
that,
true.
That
so,
conversation.
So, yeah, we're good up to the point that you get to drive off and I get shot.
But Michael, I think
that's the mindset that a lot of folks in the black community have. That's the difference. That's where the thing becomes different for them.
We see this case in Florida, right? There's just a case in Florida.
Yes, right.
A guy with his hands actually up. Now, the Michael Brown case is the worst example of this, because Michael Brown, it turns out the DNA was all over the police officer and all that. But in this case, it appears that this guy
on his back.
He was on
his hands up.
His hands were up, and he's a guy helping an autistic kid as a therapist.
I mean, it just shows you how bad it is. But I think that speaks to what the party of the Republican Party, one of the criticisms is the inclusiveness is not there. The understanding of these kinds of issues is not there.
Well, it was there for a while.
It was there, but
would say right now, people
it's
would say
there.
It's not there. Right. You've got Peter Thiel speaking today about LGBT. You know, he's a Republican, and yet he's a gay man, and that kind of thing has not seemed to materialize under this Donald Trump. He's been more divisive than many before him. Do you think tonight he's going to change his tune? Is he going to say anything that will include more Americans? Will he appeal?
I don't think he's personally a racist.
No, he's not. He's not a racist.
I think most say
and
that.
He's not. And it's hard to argue that point when he uses the dog whistles that upset everybody.
He's
that
playing with fire, though.
He's playing
he's
with fire when he
does
that.
Doing it to attract attention.
But to your question, I hope so is the answer, but from what I'm hearing on the speech, probably not. I think this should be a visionary speech that's looking forward, not one that's filled with recriminations and fear. And I think my suspicion is you're going to get more of that because that's what he's been selling for the last
and
few
months.
Worked.
And it's worked. A lot of it's going to be about Hillary would be my guess as well. And now, Michael, I will not have to sneak you into the Democratic National Convention as I had to do in 2012 because you were actually working for MSNBC.
I will be there.
And we're all going to be there together.
We'll be
personally
there.
Enjoying the festivities of Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
And then whatever the hell's going on that stage.
Yes.
I mean, that's
going to
be.
It's going to be. Look, I've been talking to some folks from, the Bernie world and who are going to be there. They're coming ready.
Yeah.
This is not this is not going to be a go quietly into that good night.
No, I think there's going to be more street theatrics there
will
than there have been here.
There will be. Absolutely. In fact, I know that the request for permits to demonstrate are like two or three times what they were here.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, isn't that, it's fascinating.
It
Everybody
is.
Thought this was going to be the one. There seems to be a little bit of a...
Well, there's something going on now.
Yeah.
And the police are in full
responding.
Force. And
yeah.
God bless them.
They have been amazing, have they not?
Absolutely. They have been absolutely amazing.
I am
and in fact, what I heard from one of the protesters was the reason why a lot of the protesters backed off is because of the Cleveland police.
They saw the presence and
they knew
saw
the presence
this was not
and
a
they
place.
Were like, okay, we get it.
Cleveland police, Ohio State Patrol, all these other municipalities that came to help from
California,
all over the country.
Texas,
and
everywhere.
Homeland Security and the
Secret Service
has just been
amazing. There's not another force like it anywhere in the world, period.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Michael?
All right.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, sir.
See you guys in Philly.
Let's go.
I got my cheesesteak. I'm ready.
All right. Well, we had some fun here. We're going to have some fun there. Yeah. We'll have to see what happens. All right.